This is Jason Marsden, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe Renegades. You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yo, Joe.
Welcome to episode 22 of What's on Joe Mind. We're a weekly fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. A special hello to all you listening from our partner sites, GeekCastRadio.com, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and Yo, Joe. Feeling much better this week, I'm one of your hosts, Gary. Joining me is our slugging showrunner, Greg. Hey, Greg.
Hello.
He's the admin of GeneralJoes.com, contributor to the G.I. Joe Collectors Club newsletter, and a shameful Patriots sellout fan. It's Justin.
What's happening, Gary?
He doesn't
tell it just because you don't have a quarterback anymore.
He doesn't dispute it, and neither do I.
No, I don't dispute it at all.
Hey, he's a syndicated columnist and contributor at InsidePulse.com. And also should be pointed out that he tried to talk sports this week on his Facebook page and was basically told by his mom not to discuss football, probably for his own good.
Oh, my God.
It's Chuck.
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Oh.
How did I miss that conversation? That's beautiful.
Izzeri got in on it. So he was actually they were talking about Jets, and Izzeri came in talking about the Giants. But then his mom says, you probably shouldn't be talking football.
That's excellent.
So what's the matter, Chuck?
Last night I had this great little bit to do when you introduced me. I mean, it was something funny that, of course, it was only be something that would amuse myself and two other people, and I can't remember it.
You can't remember it?
Nah, but I figure, you bringing up the Facebook thread is just as good. I mean, you got Justin and Greg cracking up, so.
Well, there's always next week, but I do want to talk about, did everyone hear the Justin and Chuck on episode 35 of the Fooshcast?
Yes, I did.
That was interesting, and you have Justin with all this insightful insider information, and basically you have Chuck in the background going, yeah, 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 yeah. And then basically he gets down.
So it's kind of like this podcast then.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. But then it gets to the end, and you asked him, he was like, what's wrong? You don't like the club, Chuck? And Chuck said something along the lines like, ah. And he was getting ready to lament on the club, and then Craig stops it right there, and it goes right back into the Fooshcast regular recording.
That's awesome.
So once again, even Australia doesn't care what you think.
Well, God forbid anybody should ever care what I think. But I think we actually recorded that at the end of the last What's on Joe Mind that Craig appeared on.
Right.
It was like you and Greg had already, well, Greg was already halfway to bed, but you had just gotten off. And then he said, oh, yeah, can you guys come on and like explain the subscription service? So I'm like, yeah, sure. It's something I can do. I can probably give my two bits about it,
Yeah, it was blah, 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 Transformers, blah, 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 yeah.
I actually don't remember what exactly I said. I'll have to, go back.
Do you ever listen to the shows you're on?
Well, actually, some of them I do, but the thing is, it's like, if I remember what I said, I mean, I know this is going to come as a shock to some of you, but it's like, I don't constantly need to hear myself, so if it's like I remember what I said...
And it's unanimous, folks.
Yeah.
None of us want to hear you either, Chuck.
Yeah, hey, great. Usually I listen back if there was a joke or something, and it's like everybody's laughing and I couldn't hear what came before or what came after, so just so I can catch it, and so I can understand in my head what was funny.
Okay. Yeah. That's an awesome lead-in to our guest tonight. No, it's not. Joining us tonight, you know him as Destro. He's one of the head honchos of the popular Joe site, histank.com. But you probably didn't know that he runs one of the larger toy shows on the Atlantic seaboard. Tonight, he's here to talk to us about the upcoming New Jersey Collectors Convention. Welcome, Fran, to the program.
What's up, Fran?
Good evening, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Thanks for having me on.
Man, it's hard to believe this is your first podcast, man. You're Mr. Big Time Player, and this is first podcast for you.
Yes, it is. First time. I've recently been able to, catch a lot of your podcasts, so it's pretty cool.
Oh, appreciate it. Chuck, you got any words of wisdom for Fran here before we get into the show?
Just be yourself and let things come naturally.
Okay.
Good
points. Before
from the chuck wagon,
right? That's right, and no mention of gravy when you add water. Before we get to this week's hits for Tots charity softball report, Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsor, contact information, and some promos from our partner podcasts.
This portion of What's on Joe Mine is brought to you by Kokomo Toys. Find one of the largest selections of G.I. Joe anywhere in the Midwest, from vintage Joes to the latest straight from Hasbro. They're independently owned and operated. Visit their store in Kokomo, Indiana, or online at KokomoToys.com today. Here's how you can contact the show. Email us at whatsonjoemine@gmail.com. Text or leave us a voicemail at 262-515-9656. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemine. Visit our homepage at whatsonjoemine.podbean.com, where you find links to our social networking profiles and active community forum threads from such sites as Joe Declassified, The Terradrome, Joe Customs, TNI, and the G.I. Joe Collectors Club, if you can find it.
It's a low blow, Gary.
Got an Apple device? Go to the iTunes Store and subscribe to the show. Hear us on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher works on Apple, BlackBerry, WebOS, and Android devices. Download the app for free at Stitcher.com or at your mobile app store. Stitcher Smart Radio and What's on Joe Mine, together, we're the smarter way to listen to radio. Find our podcast mirrored every week at InsidePulse.com. Inside Pulse is a pop culture mega site covering movies, music, sports, games, and more. Check out the Pulse of Pop Culture at InsidePulse.com. We're part of the GeekCast Radio Network. GeekCast Radio Network features multiple podcast featuring Transformers, cartoons, movies, television, general geek topics, and interviews with many famous voice actors from your favorite shows. So go there now and unleash the geek in you and tell them how much you enjoy What's on Joe Mine. And now a few words from our partner podcasts.
Tooncast is dedicated to the cartoons we grew up with. 100 episodes and more make up one of the GCRN's most popular podcasts. Join hosts TFGO and Mike, Optimus Solo, Terror the Rising Star, and tons of guest hosts. We also have voice actor and writer interviews. Tune in to Tooncast as we look back on the cartoons that defined us as geeks. You can find Tooncast on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Tune in.
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Welcome to a collaboration between the GeekCast Radio Network and the Pop Culture Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast. I am your host, Steve Joe and Mike from the GCRN, and joining me is Zordon himself. Scotty Cash.
That's right, Scotty Cash from the Pop Culture Network, and today we're introducing you to the audio version of From the Command Center, the podcast that will tell our intake on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the episodes, the seasons, and all that other good stuff.
Movie Week in Review is the GeekCast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on GeekCastRadio.com.
For this week's charity softball report, here's Greg to tell us how he did this week. Greg?
Well, it was another good week on the softball diamond. I was 5 for 5.
Ooh,
18 wow. Hits on the season. Which is 72 toys that's being donated to Toys for Tots.
Man, I'm not going to have enough money to buy my own kids' toys for Christmas.
Kidding. Jeez.
Well, maybe if you're lucky, they'll get a handout from Toys for Tots.
Damn, that cold.
Oh, ouch.
So what was the score of the game?
It was 26-6.
Now, are you playing the same Little League team every week or something?
I don't know what's going on. This week, I even warned the team, like, you know what? The last couple weeks has been really easy. I think we're going to actually have a challenge. And it was the other team's second doubleheader. So they played another team first, and they played us. So.
Oh, so they drank in the first game.
That must have been it. I don't know what the excuse is for.
Yeah, Greg, I'm just impressed at how you're able to play in those little pink frilly skirts with the fishnets and leotards.
It's plaid, too. Not played. Plaid.
It's plaid.
You got these two jokes, and you do one or the other.
Well, yeah, but it gets the same effect. People laugh, and it's just, you know, it makes you hot under the collar. I mean, that's what I'm here for.
Well, thankfully, it's unlike my Colts, on to the playoffs.
Oh, boy.
Playoffs? What talk about? Playoffs?
Playoffs?
Yeah.
The season's over before it begins.
Yeah, mine's done. I just... anyways, it's better that we move on. It's easier on my ego. Greg, you want to go ahead and take it over before we start spawning into Peyton Manning missing half the season?
You bet we can do that.
Thanks, man.
All right. Fran, welcome to the podcast. I guess first we'd like to talk a little bit about the NJCC, otherwise known as the New Jersey Collectors Con. So are you the man in charge of this wonderful convention?
Yes, I am. Basically, you know, we started doing conventions a long time ago. I don't know if you ever heard of CyberCon Expo.
Sure.
Basically, back in the day, we used to do Transformer shows, and that's basically what they were. And that's where the idea spawned from. Basically, people kept contacting me, asking me when we were going to do conventions again. And we decided to do something a little different, and we came up with New Jersey Collectors Con. We wanted to stay away from, you know, like what you would normally go to a Comic-Con. You would see a little bit of everything, where we wanted to focus on collecting, toy collecting action figures. So that's why we went with the collector angle. And this is our third show that's up and coming. This is our first big guest announcement, too. I don't know if you heard, but we got Larry Kenny, Lord of the Thundercats.
Pretty impressive, yeah.
That's terrific.
Yes, he's a really good guy. And when you talk to him on the phone, it's crazy because it's like you're talking to Lion-O. Like, he sounds just like Lion-O.
That's great.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, we got a lot going on.
At your convention, do you, like, have any special panels besides the interview autograph segments? But do you have, like, people getting up talking about various aspects of collecting, various toy lines and stuff like that?
That's something that we're going to look forward to in the future. Right now, basically, the space that we have available to us is completely filled with dealers. There's no side area to have a panel, per se. But we are having a party the night before where board members and anybody who wants to come, for that matter, can show up and hang out. At that party, we're going to be showing the G.I. Joe fan film. I'm sure you guys have heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we've had him on the show. Yeah, that was awesome. Mark, yeah.
Yes, Mark's going to be coming down. He's going to be, you know, giving us an early preview of the film. He's going to be bringing a lot of, you know, the actors and the people along. And we're actually going to show that at the party the night before. And hopefully, you know, the same people who would come to the toy show will come to the party and check out a cool G.I. Joe fan film.
Now, what do you consider the hardest part of kind of managing and setting up the whole convention experience? What's the biggest challenge?
Making everybody happy.
Good luck that's with great. That one. Yeah.
To say that's possible?
Exactly. Yeah, the hardest part. Well, I guess that would be, I don't know, that's a tough question. I guess it's getting the right dealers for the event, I think, mm-hmm. is the key. Because the dealers really will make the attendees want to come back. So if you're... you know, just a small bit of advice if you're looking to set up a show, you should focus on your dealers because they make or break a show. If you bring in the wrong guys, have the wrong toy selection, the wrong gear, then, you know, people aren't going to want to come to the show the next time. You're going to get people angry because they didn't find what they want.
So now, how do you balance that out when you're doing a general collector's convention? Do you have some kind of chart in mind where you say, okay, we need this many dealers for this property, this many for this property, or do you just kind of let the chips fall?
Well, you know, being in the community, the collecting community, and having mm-hmm. His Tank, Toy Arc, and all the other forums to pull from, you know, I know a lot of people who sell toys and are already in the industry, so to speak.
Gotcha.
So I had a good base to start with. And we basically have a, you know, a handshake rule where your table has to be the equivalent of 50% with G.I. Joe and Transformers, and the rest can be mixed, but should be mostly 80s toys. And that's like an agreement that we have with the dealers. And I think it works out well. And when you come to our show, you see that reflected in the stock that they bring. So when you come to our show, you know, you're getting a really good chunk mm-hmm. of G.I. Joe, 80s toys, Transformers, the stuff that, you know, we collect.
So you're not going to end up in a dealer room with like 90% Star Wars stuff and just a smattering of other stuff. It's going to be a good mix.
Yes. You know, there's no Beanie Sweet. Babies. There's no, not that I have anything against comic book dealers, but you won't find a whole table with just comic books. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an action figure toy show. You know, when you come there, that's what you're going to get.
Hey, Fran, tell us about the costume contest you guys plan on having this year.
That gets better every year. We've only had it going on for a little while now, but we've had some interesting costumes already show up. The Blaster outfit, I don't know if you've seen the video with, with Optimus Primal. It's built in, like she has a built-in stereo in her legs, and she walks around and she can play music through know, through that costume.
There is actually, you got the video on your on the New Jersey Collectors Con webpage, and we'll have Greg put it into the show notes. The NJCC 2010 Transformer Dance Party.
Yeah, and when you watch that video, like, that's not edited, like, with a soundtrack. Like, that music is coming from that costume.
Sweet.
So, and nice. That's, you know, that's not all. When you go there, you'll see Cobra Troopers, you'll see, you know, Len in his bat costume, and every other costume that he, you know, brings. He's amazing. I don't know if you know Len from Cobra's Finest.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen him in costume all over the place. I don't know him personally, but, you know, you recognize that bat costume anywhere. It's awesome.
Oh, he made my snow job laser rifle.
Oh, is he one of those guys?
Yeah, cool. yeah from the Cobra Finest, so yeah. Pit Viper Studio, I think?
Yep.
Pit Viper Studios, correct.
Yep. Awesome stuff. Guy. Nice guy, too.
Made in the USA, too.
Can't get any better than that.
I saw on the website you guys are going to have some custom exclusives as well. You want to tell us a little bit about those?
Yes, the Jungle Bat His Tank. That's a really interesting new concept for the show. We wanted to put something out there for someone to have that came to the show that would be special and fan-created. Who better to do that than Kevin Watts? You know, the guy is an awesome customizer. He's just amazing. He's one of our top custom members on histank.com, and I know he's a big community member. A lot of people know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
Friend of the program.
He's well known.
Yep.
And we just were having a casual conversation one night, and it turned into, what can we do special for the show? He's like, why don't we do, you know, a custom, something small, something simple? And then it turned out to be something a little more complex, and, you know, it's what it is now, the Cobra Jungle Bat His Tank. And he worked very hard on these, and I think they came out great.
Yeah, they look terrific.
Yeah, and, you know, Cobra Stickers also was nice enough to create that sticker sheet specifically for us for this project, too.
Nice.
So, got to give them a little credit for that, too.
And the distribution plan of those are for prizes?
Yes, these are strictly giveaway, and, you know, they're not for sale. Basically, when you come to our shows, we give out door prize tickets, and we will be drawing these randomly throughout the day along with the door prizes. So when you come in, you'll have a random opportunity to win.
There you go, Chuck. You should go, man.
I never win anything.
Jeez.
Never know.
Yeah, you never know until you try.
No, actually, I'm sorry. I should correct that. I win something once a decade, and earlier in the year, I won a GoBots DVD. So talk to me in, like, 2021 or
you said
like
a GoBots DVD?
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
You sound ashamed, Chuck. Are you ashamed of that?
Oh, no, it's really good. I mean, the transfer was phenomenal, but if you guys get on me about talking about Transformers, I'm afraid of what you'll do to me about talking about GoBots.
Transformers illegitimate children.
Exactly.
Actually, friend, I wanted to go back and touch off of something Justin said when we were just discussing how the dealers know what to bring and what have. Do you have anything that represents the Asian toy market, namely Solichogokin, SH Figuarts, and those higher-end Japanese action figure collectibles?
Well, Image Anime is actually coming down to this show. They're based out of New York. I'm pretty sure that they will be bringing merchandise that's along those lines. It's not a major focus, so it's going to be hit and miss if people are coming out for that. But with the presence of Image Anime there, you have a good shot.
I actually know their store from the city, so, you know, good people.
Yeah, and also Tempting Toys. I don't know if you know who Tony Prado is.
No, name doesn't sound familiar.
He's big in the Transformer realm. Basically, he'll be there with a lot of Japanese merchandise as well, so. If you were looking for that, you go hit him up.
Oh, okay.
It's a Transformer dude you don't know, Chuck?
Yeah, there's a lot of people I don't know, Gary. I had better call somebody.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Chuck.
Bye, Chuck.
You sound a little down in the dumps.
Well, no. After doing a serious interview, I'm trying to be mellow and move it along. But, you know, obviously when certain buzzwords are mentioned, you know, Larry and Curly can't resist but jumping on me.
All right. Don't make yourself such an easy target, I guess. I assume it sounds like you're pretty happy with the exclusives that Kevin helped you put together. You got some things in mind for future shows? You plan on growing that a little bit, maybe offering more exclusives for sale, or are they just always going to be door prizes? What do you have in mind as far as that goes?
Nothing for sale, that's for sure. Okay. I'm not really looking forward to selling anything. But maybe in the future we'll continually do some customs, some mm-hmm. small runs, nothing significant, nothing to the point where you would pre-register and
gotcha.
You know, have 100 sets made. Mm-hmm. You know, that's for the official club. You know, okay. That's what they're there for, so we let them handle that.
This is spun into more than one show a year, is that right? Because I was reading on the webpage is that you had an April 2011 show. So are you doing two shows a year?
Two shows a year now. That's what we do. It's grown to a point where we can have two shows.
Nice.
We're expecting, I would say, around 500-600 people.
No, that's really good, considering that's right on par with JoeCon and some of the other larger conventions that I know of that I've been to. So it's really impressive.
I'm really happy with it, and you know, as long as the fans continue to support the show, I'll keep on doing them. We want to, you know, the point is to grow it. We don't want to stay stale. We need the attendance in order to get a bigger location because, you know, it gets expensive. So as long as we have the attendance, we will continue to grow the show, and hopefully we can get a bigger location.
Well, it definitely sounds like you have the vendor attention. Sounds like you guys got a full room, and if you have anything that you've had from the past, come and show up. I'm sure you're going to have a bunch of happy patrons. So this show, a little too far away for me to get there, but I'll be watching it from the internet, that's for sure.
Whereabouts is it in New Jersey anyway? Where's the location?
It's about 5 minutes from downtown Philadelphia. If it's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, okay. Which is a bigger suburb, I guess you could say. It's in a bigger ballroom inside the Holiday Inn.
And it's the, which weekend is it? It's October what?
It's going to be October 9th.
October 9th.
It's a Sunday. Right. It's a one-day show, and we're going to have the preview party the night before. If anybody wants to come out and hang out, you're more than welcome.
And where's that party going to be at?
It's going to be at Red Hot and Blue. There's going to be a jazz band there, and like I said earlier, we're going to be premiering the fan film there.
That's
and,
excellent.
And their food is great, too, so if you want to come out a little early and get some food, it's a great place to eat dinner.
You should be able to find it. And if anybody has any questions, NewJerseyCollectorsCon.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
And also on Facebook. Just search NJCC, I'm assuming?
Yes, you can find us. You can find us through NJCC or just by typing in New Jersey Collectors Con.
There you go.
All right, switching topics a little bit. Do you want to explain a little bit about your involvement with Histank, how you got started with it, essentially?
Wow, Histank. There's a loaded question. Well, you know, it's been around for quite some time now. We're going on 6 years. Basically, is the brainchild of me and my partner, Alex. Most people know him as Tony Bacala. And the network actually started out on TFW2005.com. This is what basically back when, you know, the internet was being born. That's when our network actually started. How Histank came about was just a need for us to grow into something different than just Transformers. And we all had a love for G.I. Joe. That's how it formed. 1 year, we were going to go up to Toy Fair, and we decided to launch it right before then, and that's how Histank got started.
How would you rate Histank's importance, success, impact on the community? On, you know, you don't have to use a scale or anything, which is, you know, from where it started to where it is now.
Well, we basically started off, I guess, back when Sigma 6 was popular, if you could call it that.
Hey now.
Whoa.
Good one. Thank you.
Hey, well, I mean, we were in support of Sigma 6.
Yes, you guys were. I will give you guys credit for that. You guys came right out in support of Sigma 6. That was good.
We were there till the end, and I am an avid Sigma 6 collector. I'm sure many people could vouch for that.
I'll vouch for that, yeah.
I still collect Sigma 6, and I have a few missing pieces that might be on their way in the future, so we'll see what happens. But we started out with Sigma 6, and then we rolled into the 25th anniversary line, and I think that's really what like put us on the map. Because we really started covering the news for that, and people liked our style, the way that we presented G.I. Joe in a I don't want to compare us to CNN, but it's kind of like a that type of format. You know, news comes in, you put it on the front page, and you come in, you can come daily and read what's new. And I don't really think up to that point there was a G.I. Joe site that was actually doing that. I know, you know, Yojo's been around a long time, but they've been more primarily a resource center, and they never really focused on news, up to the minute news. You know, they would do roundups and things like that. But, you know, we post news the minute it comes out. That's what we wanted to do. That's where we came from with TFW, and that's our base.
Now, what do you think? I know you touched on it a little bit, but what is the essence that you think makes Histank so popular? It seemed to grow astronomically quickly to levels that other G.I. Joe forums hadn't really hit at that time. What was the secret formula? I think it was just about the news, or was there something else to it?
I think it's the news and the way that we present the forum system, you know, basically forums. I don't think anybody quite uses the system that we have in place Well, no. Back then, I think we were the first people to introduce vBulletin. I'm not sure if Yojo was on vBulletin or not.
I think they were using it, but probably not. Not in the same way that you guys did.
Yeah, Alex is a great webmaster. You know, he breaks apart the system and puts it back together again in a unique way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very easy for the user to interact with our site.
Yeah. So has he done pretty much all the webmaster duties for his thing? Because I've always been impressed with the layout and just kind of the way it's all set up, the graphics work and everything.
Yeah. He's basically our webmaster. You know, he takes care of the whole network. You know, and then, you know, we have guys who do news. We have guys who just focus on boards. It's tough to put my finger on exactly one thing that made us a popular website. You know, if I had to say anything, it would be the way we report on the news. That's where I would go.
What's next? I mean, what new piece of technology do you plan on wrapping into HisTank that can be used on other interactive levels?
Our database. We are actually formulating a database right now. It's pretty much done. We have a few tweaks here and there, but that you can look forward to seeing that shortly. We will have a complete interactive community-based style. We'll have every G.I. Joe toy line and pictures, images, information, fan-driven content that people want to see inside if it was Destro, someone submitted content that is unique about the character, then we'll add it in there and give them credit for that. And once we launch the database, you'll see how that works.
Is that still a work in progress, or do you have an ETA on when you plan on launching that?
It's a work. It will always be a work in progress. You know,
of course, yeah. A lot of sites are like that too. Yeah,
it just keeps going. You know,
cool.
And HisTank in general is a work in progress. Like, we always want to move forward and build it and get bigger. But with the database, you know, that's a beast. And I'm sure any of the guys from over Yojo will tell you the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to get started. And once you get going, it has to be constantly maintained. But yeah, that's on its way, and it's not complete yet. But like I said, it's going to be a community fan-driven event, and we hope that everybody participates and makes it successful.
So in that regard, how many people besides you and your partner that are involved on staff, or is it just mods that volunteer their time?
It's mostly just volunteer-based. You know, the community helps out the most. You know, they're the ones that are there posting information and interacting and, you know, they tell us what to do now, you know? So it's kind of like it's grown into its own life form, so to speak.
Was there ever a moment with development of the site, you know, watching it grow, that you would say was like your defining moment where it was like, okay, we've reached this point, we've gotten past this point, we're never going to go back to what it was before, this is how the site's going to be now in terms of hits, numbers, you know, a story that you guys wrote that really brought you to that level?
You guys are going to get a great laugh out of this. I mean, it has to be the 25th anniversary line. But I think the biggest spike that we had to start us off with a big traffic push was the debate over whether there should be a diaper crotch version or there should be a fixed articulation version. If you go back...
The little things.
If you go back and you look at that debate, I think every person from every part corner of the fandom involved with G.I. Joe had something to say in that thread. And they were all there. You can go back and look at it. I mean, it's a mile long, and it was a heated debate, and it was great. It was awesome.
So nice. Where do you stand? Diaper or no?
Well, I kind of like the diaper crotch because they look better in packing.
Yeah.
But, of course, if the articulation is better, you know, that's the argument. You know, they look better with the diaper crotch, but the articulation, when you want to use them in vehicles, is much mm-hmm. better with the style that actually stuck. So
what are you a big fan of kind of the direction G.I. Joe has been going in over the years? Are you somebody who more likes the homage to the vintage days, or do you kind of like what they're doing with Pursuit of Cobra and Renegades and that type of stuff?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, the Pursuit of Cobra line, in my mind, is the best Joe line that's come out since they've done the modern era body style.
Yeah.
You know, the gear.
I can agree to that, yeah.
The box art, I love it. And it's just all around a great way to bring G.I. Joe up to date, I think. I think they did a
sure.
really good job. I hate to say it, but I think the movie stunted growth of G.I. Joe there for a little while. And then
yep.
POC came in and helped them get past that point. Even though the movie line probably sold more toys than the 25th anniversary, POC, all the stuff that came before it and after it, it still
yep.
sold more. But I think as far as quality goes, you know, it's a great line. Awesome line.
And what do you envision for the movie sequel? You think it's going to kind of fall back on the Rise of Cobra designs, or you think we're going to see it progress a little bit and continue with the POC type of style? What do you envision for that?
It's a tough call with the economy the way it is. Mm-hmm. I think they were hoping to go with the POC style, but I'm sure you've seen with the Renegades figures that a lot of some of the gear that you know was supposed to be included in those figures is no longer in there.
Yeah,
and I hope that's not a sign of things to come. But hopefully they stick with the heavy gear, futuristic character, but still keep the classic feel to them.
Yep.
Hopefully that's what they focus on for the movie. And you know they have a lot of mold selection now that they didn't have before. So hopefully they can put together some really good waves for us.
I know. And that's one thing that I was kind of thinking about as I was opening these the Renegades figures that just came out, is that a lot of them have a lot of shared tooling, but because there is so much of a tooling library there, they can a lot more to pick and choose from and still give us cool new figures with a lot of reused tooling. So sorry, I kind of got off the Histank topic a little bit, but
no, that's fine. I like to talk shop too, you know.
That's cool.
My favorite thing.
We'll definitely have plenty of that. A question for you is, I know you go to the cons. I met you at a couple of cons, and everybody's Fran, and Justin gets, I think, a little bit of that when he goes to the cons, too. It's always people wanting to come up and talk to you, get your opinion on this and that. You have a huge site, and you're also running 2 toy shows a year. I mean, how do you unplug and step back, and where you're always not wrapped around G.I. Joe? Obviously going to be part of your life, but how do you step back and say, let me do something else? What are things that Fran does for fun outside of G.I. Joe?
Well, I'd have to say the top thing would be music. I'm a huge music fan. I love to go to concerts. Music is a huge part of my life. Even when I'm sitting here doing news, there's music playing. I'm a huge Nine Inch Nails fan, Guns N' Roses, rock. I like rock music. But yeah, I'm a huge music fan in general. And basically, my other interests are cars. I don't know if you know that I own a Camaro. It's my prized possession.
Nice.
I love that car to death. It's a great piece of American history. I think it's going to be a classic car in the future, right off the assembly line. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to actually see one or drive one, but I highly recommend that vehicle. And I guess the third thing would be movies. I'm an avid movie fan. I love to go see movies, too. So those are my three things.
Awesome. All right. Well.
All right. Well, Fran, thanks again for joining us. Again, the New Jersey Collectors Convention is on October 9th.
October 9th.
It is from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., and general admission is $10. If you wanted more information, you can just Google New Jersey Collectors Con, or also go to NewJerseyCollectorsCon.com, or also the Facebook page. And then, Fran, you're more than welcome to stick around with us for the rest of the show. You can give her your input on some of the stuff we're going to talk about.
Great. This is the talk shop portion of the program I was talking about.
So we will move on to the mailbag, I believe. So we got a letter in from Kansas City named Tim. And maybe, I'm going to paraphrase just because the email was kind of long. But basically, he was asking about distribution at stores. He brings up the spotty distribution of Thor figures, Captain America, Iron Man 2, and G.I. Joe. Basically how anything past the first couple waves of Pursuit of Cobra is pretty much non-existent, which is the same for Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man 2. And then also, if I can't pre-order from toy sites, or they are sold out, or don't carry them all together, I've had to pay a premium prices on eBay for a lot of figures I want, and all the brands since I can't find them at retail. Which means that they're obviously out there somewhere. So what gives? Any help would be, or any info would be helpful and be appreciated, because it's not fun being unable to just go to a store online or in person and just find what I'm looking for what exists. So I think he's basically asking, why is retail so spotty, especially with Hasbro line?
Oh, boy. Well, there's really, two different questions there. I mean, the first one is, when it comes to the movie lines like Iron Man 2, Captain America, and Thor, well, first of all, there's a split.
Now, keep in mind, your marketing is notoriously bad.
Yeah, but this is something I've heard universally. Thor and Captain America were a little bit better, but the Iron Man 2 line, you basically had every single store ordering cases and cases of all the Wave 1 figures. That was Wave 1 movie series, Wave 1 comic series, Wave 1 concept series, the deluxe figures, the vehicles, and then you had store exclusives on top of it. The movie really only has, movie product only has 2 periods of viability. When the movie is out, people are going to see it, and they come say, well, I want an Iron Man figure. Or when it comes out the DVD. Basically, what had happened was that they had so much of Wave 1, people would come in, I want Iron Man, I want War Machine, and that was it. And because of that, those other figures sat. Now, I did eventually see Whiplash. I did eventually see Crimson Dynamo, the drones, and what have you. But it was nowhere near in the numbers. And that was much, much later on, once the initial push of Iron Man 2 was done. Now, with Thor and Captain America, and I remember this is a question that was addressed to Hasbro during a G.I. Joe Q&A, Hasbro, I think, said that they were going to step in with their distributors, with the retailers, help have them help them adjust the number of cases that they order per weight. Now, Thor, for whatever reason, the figures just didn't sell. I've heard many reasons over that. It's, you know, unfortunate now that it looks like a lot of the, you know, even Wave 2 on figures are just, you know, straining to make it to retail. But Captain America, you know, it's been moving through. Pursuit of Cobra, you had the issue where a lot of retailers were very hesitant to invest in the Joe brand after the lackluster results of the Rise of Cobra movie line. I was at Toys R Us a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and they still had Rise of Cobra figures and vehicles.
Yeah, but again,
shelf.
Chuck, that's your market.
I know that's my market. I mean, some areas was different. I mean, but basically when I talk to people that are around the country, I will say that there's like, well, there was still like a Rise of Cobra Neo Viper or something like that.
Well, Chuck, I think you kind of touched on what, I don't mean to interrupt, but you touched on during your speech there what the main problem is that the biggest point of viability for most of these lines is, like you said, when the movie's in theaters. So what retailers do is they overorder those initial assortments, you know, planning on, you know, if there's this big, huge push, we better make sure we have enough stock on shelves. It doesn't sell through as they planned, and then all of a sudden they've got all this merchandise in their stores, and they're not going to reorder. Or worse yet, it goes through distribution, and they've got future waves sitting in their warehouses or in Hasbro's distribution warehouses, but the retailers aren't biting on it because their pegs are still filled with the Wave 1 stuff. And it's just a matter of kind of getting a good balance. I mean, the original Iron Man movie didn't sell much numbers-wise, but the expectations were relatively low, and they didn't order a whole lot of the Wave 1 stuff, so that pushed through, and they started, you know, ordering the future waves. And they kind of based their Iron Man 2 numbers off of that. And when Iron Man 2 didn't do as well at retail as Iron Man 1 did, you know, based on expectations, then all of a sudden you've got this glut of Wave 1 and Wave 2 product, which is just, it's insane. I mean, I can go into any Walmart in a 100-mile radius, and you've got six stuffed full pegs of the same few Iron Man figures that are out there. And that's kind of what happens. And I guess Pursuit of Cobra was kind of the same way, where it was a kind of a re-push after the movie had run its course. They made another initial push and ordered quite a bit of those first assortments to kind of get it in shelves and get it in front of people. And, you know, it didn't sell through. So you end up with merchandise that's sitting in warehouses kind of waiting to go through. It's just kind of sitting there until this other product sells through.
It's funny. In my case, I saw all the way up to Wave 3. Actually, Wave 3, Wave 4. I get a little confused about, you know, which figures are in which. You know, in fact, what I'm seeing on shelves now that's Pursuit of Cobra is Wave 3, Wave 4. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing from Wave 1 or Wave 2. You know, and the other problem with that was happening a lot is, and I saw this a lot with Rise of Cobra, is when stores would restock, like let's say they would have the Wave 2 guys.
Yeah.
Instead of putting them behind the older product, they would put the newer product up front. So, you know, a guy like me would just come along and be like, oh, Pit Viper, Paris Pursuit, Baroness, this, that, and the other thing. And there would still be the Wave 1 Snake Eyes, this and that. But, you know, that didn't even have the Iron Man 2 toys. See, I was under the impression the Iron Man 2 toys sold fairly well since Iron Man 2 was a much more popular movie, but, you know, I guess I was wrong.
I would have to mention that I really feel that the retailers put Hasbro in the circle of trust due to the success of the Transformer movie toys.
Yeah,
I think they underordered Transformers when it first hit for the first movie, and it sold out, and there was a long time before they replenished those toys. And they figured they had the same scenario with G.I. Joe, so they ordered a lot of toys up front, so they wouldn't have that that lull in between making a new shipment. I think that's actually, you know, that's accurate to what happened with G.I. Joe.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it's all, once again, it's all the Transformers' fault.
Damn robots!
Exactly.
well, you know, I mean, even in that brand, it bites them in the rear because, you know, Hasbro is a publicly traded company. They have to release quarterly reports, and in the quarters where there isn't a Transformers movie, the Transformer brand performs badly. It does not, you know, it undersells what they expect. But, you know, the whole reason behind that is a whole other topic. But, you know, I think really the common themes here is just expectation versus reality versus knowing how much to order of each wave.
One of the things that you got to keep in mind too about Pursuit of Cobra is because there were so many movie lines out that year that aisle got pushed so tight, and G.I. Joe not having a big movie push for that year, retailers are not going to order as much of a product that doesn't have a movie. So that's part of the reason why you're not seeing the numbers that you normally would, or, you know, the ease of finding the action figures that you would normally have with G.I. Joe, because it's a big brand. But when you have Thor, you have Captain America, you have Iron Man, and all these big marketing pushes with movies, it's another reason why you're having a hard time finding G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think also the other problem is that maybe stores are getting hip to it now. I know companies, especially Hasbro, do something where they do case refreshments, where they'll do like a Wave 3.5, where it's some of the Wave 3 figures with maybe some of the Wave 1 figures that may no longer be on the shelves. And, you know, in that regard...
Those are called revision cases.
Revision cases. What did I say?
No, you never said what they were called, but they're known to us as revision cases.
Revision case. Yeah. You know, in that regard, you know, stores don't have to order that much of Wave 1 anymore. They want to keep particular characters on the shelf because they know in a couple of waves, which could be a month, month and a half, they'll be getting, you know, those characters again.
Well, Tim, let me go ahead and try to answer your question a little bit more directly. First of all, thanks for writing in, and also if you're a Chiefs fan, I guess you'll be joining us in the race with Andrew Luck.
Always comes back to football.
Right now, yes. I'm not going to pretend to know what goes through retailers' minds and what sells and what doesn't sell. We've heard numbers. We've heard that Rise of Cobra did well, but it doesn't sell as much as it wanted to. We've heard other numbers, so forth. The answer to the question is any info would be help and be appreciated. Well, like I said, I don't have the problem around here as much. Case in point, wife comes home today with 3 Steel Brigades and 2 Cobra Vipers for me.
You suck.
Hey, what can I say, man? It's just...
I hate you.
that was given. I know you hate me, but, you know, it's either I got a well-trained wife or my area is blessed. I'd like to take a little from column A and a little from column B, possibly. But with that said... I don't even really play the game anymore of going to the stores. I pre-order online, whether it be Small Joe's, Big Bad Toy Store, my friends up at Kokomo Toys. I just don't play the game anymore. And I know some people say, well, you know, shipping, I'm paying more. In the long run, I'm paying for convenience and less of a headache. If you can pre-order, I would go ahead and pre-order and get it out of the way. And then if you want to find extras, bonus, you find them on the store shelves when you least expect it. And that's always a nice surprise. But
yeah, if he's looking for a solution to his problem, then yeah, it's ordering online. I mean, especially with Wave 2 of these G.I. Joe, you know, 30th Anniversary Renegades toys, whatever you want to call them. Kokomo Toys has them for what, $32-$33 for a set? That's $7.50 per figure.
Yeah, and even you have shipping on top of that. And,
even if it's $8 or $10, that's still pretty close to retail. And to save you the headache and the gas money for driving around, it's pretty much a no-brainer.
And let's say you wanted to buy a case of those. You're getting all the army builders from the previous wave, minus what are you getting? Minus the Trooper and Stalker.
Yep.
I mean, that's there you go. I mean, everyone wants to army build a little bit, and even though they say they don't, maybe get them in by the case, or maybe go in with some friends. Network. That's another thing I do here locally. Is exactly. I network a lot. I have a friend that'll text me, hey, I saw so-and-so, and oftentimes I go there and I don't find them, but every now and then I'll have, you know, I found so-and-so and I grabbed an extra one for you. Hey, bonus, awesome. There you go, network. I do know there's quite a few collectors in KC. Of course, there was a con there. I met a lot of people from KC when at the con. I know some people off the top of my head that if you don't know, you might want to start contacting them, like AVAC, and some of those guys are in the KC area. Just start networking with people and trying to find stuff. 4 eyes are better than 2. If you have an extra set out there looking for something you're looking for.
Yeah, not to spend the whole show on this one topic, but I've got to agree with that. Just last week, I was down in Burlington, Mass, at a training seminar, and I just kind of put the word out there on his tank in their regional sighting section, just saying, look, I'm down here in Massachusetts. This is what I'm looking for. Anybody got any hints? And within, you know, me being there for a week, I had a bunch of people coming in telling me what local stores kind of had figures. I had a guy, Airtight, who incidentally is also the guy who created our graphic for Greg Sutton. softball tracking. So he did me a real solid favor, gave me an actual Walmart location where he saw the 30th anniversary vehicles down in my neck of the woods, took a break from my seminar for lunch, drove up there 20 minutes, I had him in my hand. And it was all because he took 2 minutes to drop a message on the forums and tell me what was going on. So networking is huge. I never would have checked that Walmart otherwise. I didn't even know it existed.
But don't let Justin fool you. He's a total G.I. Joe rock star and diva.
Yeah.
That's exactly how he finds his stuff.
Justin snapped his fingers and people delivered presents. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Alan Hassenfeld drives the cases to my house himself. And
that's awesome. Does he give you the little wristbands that he's wearing as well?
You know, Gary, if I have to play the opposite end of your statement, you know, unless it's something I know 100%, I will never see in a store, like the Marvel Universe 3¾-inch figures. I really can't justify, like, the shipping and stuff, especially the markup from, you know, stores. I mean, yes, I agree with you. You're paying for peace of mind, you're paying for convenience, but someone like me who has, like, somewhat of a fixed budget, you have to pay for peace of mind and convenience when going crazy and being annoyed is free, and I usually have to take that option. You like that one, huh, guys? Yeah, it was pretty good.
That was, well, you know, it's like talk is cheap. Well, you can apparently afford that, so... I think you look at it, there is that way. I do know that there are eBay dealers, and now we're starting to stray a little bit, but there are eBay dealers, and there's also online dealers that do take advantage of shipping. I will say that the guys at Kokomo Toys were fairly priced. I will say the guys at Small Joe's and some of the other Big Bad Toy Stores seem to be fairly priced. Collector's Club gets you a little bit. I won't say that that's going to be something that's permanent, because I think I've seen some complaints about it, and that might change. Versus what I'm saving on gas, I mean, it's nickels and dimes. There's really not that much savings when it's all said and done with. But in my mind, it's just less of a headache. And I think if you were to order online, I mean, you would, in the grand scheme of things, even on a fixed income, you're probably not spending that much more than me, really.
Oh, and Gary, there is one more point to buying it in a store than ordering it online. You get to actually see the figure before you get it. I think it's safe to say that we've all been bitten at least once in our lives where we've ordered something online and, you know, the roll the dice and you just came up with that losing number that you get the one figure with, like, the quality control issue, missing a hand, missing a gun, schwap of paint all over his face.
That's just... life in general, you know, I got relationships built with, like, the guys up at Kokomo Toys or even with Corey at Small Joe's that, you know, something were to come back to me. And I think even it's maybe not worth the hassle to you, but I think those same relationships are available to you and a whole bunch of others for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, well, you get, you know, you, Justin, you get to know people, stuff like that, you know, when you're working on a...
Come on, Chuck, you're the star, man. Chuck is a star.
Please, maybe in his own mind.
Please, you're giving me a big head. Now I'm not going to tell you which point it is.
Oh my.
And that'll be beeped out.
Yeah. But I'll always hear it in my head, and that's not fair. Can we bleep out my brain, Gary?
We can try.
We're going to beep that from the show.
Ooh, no, these are just preemptive beeps for next week when we get to that point.
I just ran the numbers quick on this last case that I got from Kokomo for Wave 2. So Wave 2 came with two sets of all the Renegades figures, so that's 8 figures. Plus it came with 4 of the Army Builders from Wave 1. It was a Hazard Viper, Cobra Trooper, Iron Grenadier, and Viper. So it was $91, and divided by 12 is $7.66 a figure. That's better than you're going to find at any store that I can think of. If you can find Joe's for less than that at a store, I'll be very impressed. So,
definitely.
I mean, I have a bunch of extra figures, but I just use them for trading and for swapping parts and stuff like that as well.
Especially this early in the game, there's not many people out there that have Wave 2, so you've got some pretty heavy trade fodder right there to kind of trade off.
We know who Chuck's going to now.
So, I can only recommend that, I mean, if it's getting to the point in retail where it doesn't pay to go for the hunt every single day, unless that's the part of the I don't know, of being a collector that you really enjoy.
The hunt sucks anymore, let's put
the
it that way.
The hunt sucks, yeah there's
does.
Nothing fun about the hunt.
I agree. I mean, you're not going to find me argue with that. I, it's, know.
You know, maybe if you lived in a more urban area and you kind of knew the guys around you and you kind of made a little game out of it or whatever, you kind of hung out with them.
You got the case of Chuck where you live right smack in one of the largest cities in the world and you still can't find anything. I mean,
it's just because Chuck's a miserable bastard.
Okay. Studio audience like that one.
You're talking about the hunt sucks. If people stop buying from brick and mortar stores are going to stop buying G.I. Joe, period. I don't care how many cases you order from Big Bad Toy Store, Small Joe's, Kokomo Toys, whatever. If brick and mortar stores like Target, Walmart, Toys R Us stop ordering G.I. Joe, that's it. Game over.
But
and they're not going
to
find. Yeah.
Number one, newsflash, but brick and mortar's already stopped carrying G.I. Joe or stopped buying G.I. Joe for the most part. I mean, they're getting trickle down cases, but it's not much. It's not what it used to be. And number two, I mean, if the items aren't in stores, what are you going to buy? You know, I mentioned going down to Massachusetts on this training seminar. I stopped at every single Walmart and every single Toys R Us on Interstate 89 and Interstate 93 for folks who know this area. None of them had anything. I mean, so it's already not being bought. So how am I going to buy something that's not even on pegs?
I think, Justin, you've touched upon the slippery slope. We want to buy it. We want to buy it in stores, but we can't find it, so we have to buy it online. Yeah. We buy it online, stores stop stocking it, so we can't buy it in stores. And, you know, it's just...
G.I. Joe relevant enough that mom and dad shopper will stop and get toys for their kids. It doesn't, you know, the collector base isn't... People who are going out and driving 150 miles in a given week to physically hunt for this stuff, we're not the target audience. They've already got us, whether we're buying it at Target or buying it online.
Yeah. Yeah.
They own us already. They're looking to get the people who aren't buying now, which is, you know, John Q. Public. And those people who are going in to get milk at their Super Walmart down the street, and they stop in and see G.I. Joe figures and pick them up for their kids. That's what they're trying to appeal to. And until they start drawing in that crowd, you know, it's just not going to happen at retail.
They definitely need to get kid engagement because it does not exist right now. And that's the missing piece of the puzzle that's causing G.I. Joe to drop out of retail like it is right now.
Yeah, we should pick that up with the movie, hopefully.
Hopefully.
We'll see.
Yeah, you got to wonder what... I mean, they keep on telling us they're going to make the sequel more gritty, more hard-edged, and more more military, which is cool for us, but I don't know how they're going to draw in more kids with that attitude.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I got to disagree with you there because you look at what kids are involved with today, I always use the analogy of Call of Duty. You know,
that's a good point. Yep.
Why will, you know what I mean? There's 9-year-old kids sitting in a chat room with adults killing one another online playing Call of Duty all day long. You know,
yep.
And that's what they're, you know, how do you sell an action figure to a 9-year-old kid when he can go actually be the action figure online?
Yep.
So if you present it in a more military fashion, you might get more engagement.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
With the youngsters.
You know, but how many kids do we really know that are playing Call of Duty at like 8, 9 years old?
Yeah, you know, you'd be surprised.
Have you ever gone out there? Yeah. Yeah. If you haven't gone into a Call of Duty chat room and played that game, man, it's just full of
voices that haven't hit puberty yet.
How big are these chats? You know, 100 people in that chat room and 50 of them are kids. In the grand scheme of things, that's not a lot of kids.
There's thousands of those chat rooms going on simultaneously, and you know, Call of Duty sells millions of copies at retail, so there's a chance that if 50% of them are kids in one chat room, that's probably a good ratio of how many are kids in other chat rooms, and yeah, numbers add up quick.
Chuck, do you have any kids?
Not that I know of.
Hush.
Listen, what did you hear?
Yeah.
What did she tell you? I told her, listen, those tests came back false. I don't know what she's...
She said the same thing too. I guess I hate to say this. You got to have a kid to understand. I guess maybe. I mean, Justin, you kind of seen the influences of what school can do, and I'm starting to see that with my daughter. And you know what Fran says about Call of Duty and these first person shooters are absolutely correct. And so could the aspect of 8-year-olds looking more for a realistic military turn them on a little bit more than comic Snake Eyes?
Yeah,
it's plausible. It is entirely plausible.
They see a guy like The Rock who's in an advertisement or a trailer shooting a big gun, and yeah, I could see that. That's definitely.
Kids are bombarded with marketing nowadays. Yep. Not like we were as children. You know, you have the internet, and you know, TV is a lot more involved than it was when we were kids.
Sure.
There was only 7 stations when we were kids. Now there's 100.
I think I had 2 stations when I was a kid. But I live in the boonies.
Yeah, not that everybody would be the boonies. Yes, parent of the year. Everybody's yeah. parent of the year. You got a lot of parents who are just letting the TV babysit their kids, and they get bombarded all day long with these images, and that's what they want. They want more adult presence in what they're doing, because that's the way they're marketed to nowadays.
Yep.
You know, it would be great. I think that would really help to get the kids. If
subliminal messages?
If we had a great G.I. Joe cartoon, then cancel it and then release the figures after the show has been canceled.
It's brilliant marketing strategy.
You got
Chuck.
A great point there.
Chuck, Hasbro should hire you.
I'm
speechless.
I'm here.
All right. Well, I think that was a good discussion. Tim, hopefully you got out of it what you were looking for. If you have any more
follow-up
questions.
Hopefully we didn't go off the rails like 30 seconds into it and not answer your question. I think that's kind of what we did, but it's our show, so suck it up.
So thanks for writing in, Tim. And again, anybody else that wants to write us mail, it's whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. And we mentioned the Renegades figures a little bit, but we'll touch on them a little bit more because we got them in already, and they're something fun to talk about. So besides myself, did anybody else get them in?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And in the process, I got to learn about Justin's soft drink drinking habits. Thank you, right. Justin. I feel a whole lot better as I drink about 6 Diet Pepsis a day.
Hey, I didn't say everybody had to quit. I just said I quit.
So start with the one that's probably the least looking forward to. That would be Snake Eyes. I didn't even open mine because I don't know. It doesn't look like there's anything in there that appeals to me a whole lot, but what about you guys?
Yeah, I cracked them open. I'm a little bit anal retentive about this stuff. I like saving the best for last, so he was actually the first one I opened because I kind of felt about him the same way you did, Greg, because I had a feeling he wasn't going to be one of the ones that excited me, and I was kind of surprised by the plastic quality a little bit first off. I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but it felt a little kind of thinner and, I don't want to say cheaper, it was not really cheaper, but it just doesn't feel quite as durable as the
FD, yes.
That was my first reaction. I mean, nothing's broken or anything, but it just had that somewhat, had that feel like maybe they're cutting costs by using a different grade of material or something. Yeah, Snake Eyes is all right. He's definitely not the star of the set. He's using mostly Resolute parts. The lower arms look like they're from Torpedo, which were also used on Wetsuit. Ends up looking a little bit funky on those injected molded wrist joints because they kind of stick out a little bit. But it's all right. It's a sleek-looking figure. It looks like he does in G.I. Joe Renegades. Nothing really to write home about. Certainly after the Wave 3 Pursuit of Cobra figure, he looks even worse. But he's all right.
Yeah, he was the last one that I opened. Not to say that I was waiting for the best for last. That's kind of how it worked out. I like the inclusion of the animation weapons.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I like that. You pretty much hit the nail on the head. Resolute homage and a little bit of a paint change here and there, and all of a sudden he kind of looks like he did in the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad figure. I don't think anyone can really be disappointed with him. There you go. I'm not sure. You haven't rated him yet. You haven't given your review, so I'm sure you'll probably put him middle of the road, if maybe not leaning a little bit higher, because we know you're a huge Hasbro apologist. So I would tend to agree with whatever rating you give it, because he's a middle of the road figure. It's enjoyable, but nothing to write home about, I guess.
Yeah, somebody who's been collecting G.I. Joe for a while and has a bunch of Snake Eyes figures, no reason to pick this one up, really, unless you're a Renegades fanatic. Yeah, he was fine. Did you pick him up yet, Fran, or not yet?
They're in the mail. I have not picked mine up yet. But as far as the Snake Eyes goes, I mean, after the POC, the black version of Snake Eyes, I just do not need another version ever again.
I think everyone kind of universally agreed, which is really tough to do in the G.I. Joe community, that any version of Snake Eyes after that one simply is subpar.
Yeah, it's not going to compete. Yeah. And I think the same thing's going to happen next year or later this year whenever that Storm Shadow comes out. I think once that Storm Shadow comes out, it's going to be tough to compete with
the definitive Storm Shadow, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so second figure that we can talk about is a Cobra Commander, which I didn't think I was going to like that much, but he really comes out as a very nicely done figure. Even I like the two heads.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking on Twitter a little bit today with a couple people that weren't fans of the half hat, the half mask.
Yeah.
But I think it looks cool. I like the white pasty skin. He looks like he's a guy that wears a mask all the time, so he's not tan, so I like that.
Yep.
And I don't know, it's a figure that's definitely got some good customizing potential. I saw someone mention that they can make a nice Inspector Gadget out of them. So.
Nice. That's awesome. I didn't even think about that. That's great. Yeah, I like the Cobra Commander. I was involved in that Twitter conversation a little bit, too, about how his head looks a little bit too animated. I have no problem with the animated style. I was kind of actually pushing for them to go all animated, something that would have infuriated probably 95% of the fandom. But
way to go, Justin. Thanks for that delay.
Yeah. But the final version it's pretty cool. They managed to kind of lower his torso joint a little bit, give him that tall, lanky look that he's got in the show. I really love that. Both head sculpts I like a lot. I'm glad they included the fully helmeted one, just because it's a lot more like Cobra Commander. But the other one looks great, too, and considering he appeared throughout the animated series mostly in that look, I'm glad they included it. He's a decent figure. He doesn't knock my socks off. His legs are pretty restricted by his long coat. I do think he's a definite must, especially if you're a Renegades fan. You got to have him on your shelf somewhere, just because he kind of typifies what people like and don't like about G.I. Joe Renegades. You know, he's got a lot of that vintage aesthetic, you know, kind of the blue uniform, the jack boots, but he's just been tweaked enough to kind of piss people off. So he's a cool figure. I like him. He's not the star of the assortment, but he's cool enough.
Yeah, I'm down with him too. I actually like the split mask look, and here's why. You know, all my other Cobra Commanders all have that full face. This mm-hmm. is supposed to be something different, so I'm accepting it as something different. Mm-hmm. Also, he looks a little weird, almost like he has an egg or a nut on his head when you end up doing the head swap. At least it does to me. You know, nut or egg on top of blue body. So I like the other head because, hey, you see a face, so it's a, you know, it's a person or whatever. So it works for me. I like it, and I also like the fact and accept the fact that it is meant to be in a different style than the rest of the universes, so I'm okay with that.
All right, and then our third figure, I think we'll go with Duke, or at least that's my choice. I think Duke is pretty decent. I like that it's a pretty simple sculpt, especially if you take off the vest, he's just wearing a t-shirt, which he might be one of the Resolute either Flint or Beachhead figures for the chest. But the only thing I don't like is he comes with four of the pistols from Renegades for some goofy reason, which we knew going into it, but it's still kind of funny.
Is it three or four?
He's got four of them.
Four of them. One strapped to his leg.
Right. Yeah. That one comes off, and then he's got three others, yeah.
The only bad thing about the figure, I think, is it has the tilting wrists. But I'm not sure if it's because his normal wrists are so skinny, but they they look kind of, I don't know, ball-y or elongated. Yep. I'm not sure. They don't flow as seamlessly as some of the other figures do when they have that wrist. So other than that, he looks great. I'm a big fan.
I think they did that because he was originally going to have the rifle, but there's no point in it now because he comes with the handgun.
Right.
Well, he does come with a rifle, but not the rifle shown in the test shots and on displays.
Comes that Agent
the Renegades.
Yeah, right. He didn't come with the Renegades one, unfortunately. And, you know, everybody's going to laugh at me because I wasn't expecting a whole lot out of this Duke. But I gotta say, I absolutely love the figure. Well, now that I've got it.
Yeah, why'd you have to say that before me? Because I was actually, go ahead, anyways.
I agree with Greg. The wrist is kind of funky just because it, you know, it has that big ball so it can move, you know, the right hand moves up and down and the left one moves back and forth. And so it does look a little bit funky because his arms are so slim. Greg or Gary, did you guys notice that are his arms the same one that were on the Pursuit of Cobra Jungle Ops Duke, or are they different?
I did not pay attention.
Yeah, I don't have them together to kind of compare. I've just got the Renegades one here. I love his arms being so skinny. It gives him great range of motion. He can hold the weapon in pretty much any pose you want him to. The vest looks really awesome. They've got some great detail in there, even though there's not a whole lot of pouches kind of on the upper part. They've got some wrinkles. They've got some great paint weathering, so it actually looks very realistic, looks very cool. I'm just amazed that they're able to take such a stylized animated model and transform it into plastic so well.
Sorry, what do you think? I know there was talk about, Craig was saying that he thinks the vest would hinder articulation. You got a chance to have you taken shots of it yet for your reviews? Have you got it in some of the poses?
Yeah, all my pictures are done. I'm just kind of doing the text and doing some Photoshop work and stuff.
How was it, the pose? Let's put it that way.
It was great. I didn't have any issues at all. I was able to get his arms up in a good firing pose, even with the vest on. His legs rise up enough. I mean, he's got like a little V kind of in the front of his crotch, for lack of a better term, that hinders things going straight up and down a tiny bit, but not much. He can still sit in a vehicle just fine. He can still put his legs up and bend his legs with no problems. The vest actually didn't end up hindering articulation at all, really, that I could tell, and if so, just the tiniest little bit. And I really think originally in our discussion with Craig, I was kind of thinking, well, you don't like it, you know, just take it off. And I was kind of thinking, well, yeah, maybe I'll take it off and I'll put a more military vest on there. But now that I've got the figure in hand, I don't really want to take it off. I think it suits him well. It looks really cool. It's just, it's a great looking figure. And I could kind of see Hasbro doing a G.I. Joe reinvention where they, you know, kind of make things a lot more vintage style, but kind of in the 21st century, and having a figure kind of like this. It really looks like how Duke might look these days. You know, instead of having a tan khaki shirt, he's got a tan flak vest, and instead of bright green pants, he's got more dark kind of olive drab pants with lots of nice detailed knee pads, pouches. It just looks like a 21st century Duke, and I hate to say it, being this is Duke version like 45 or 50 or whatever, but it's an awesome figure, and I'm kind of glad they did it, and it kind of makes me want them to go back and revisit Duke version 1 again and kind of give him a little bit more, you know, a little bit more detail, a little bit more more articulation than we got in the 25th anniversary version, because the ridiculous thing is, as many Dukes as we've gotten over the past 3 or 4 years, we still don't really have a definitive version 1 Duke that really does him justice. He's either got the slit wrists or the funky articulation or a weird head sculpt. He's one character that really hasn't gotten a good first generic version, and I think they could stand to go back and do that.
Did you notice that it did not have the scar on the face?
I did notice that. That was a little funky. Yep.
I was looking for it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yep. Speaking of the face, the head sculpt is incredible. I mean, just
it is very much
so much detail. He's got blue eyes, and it's a really impressive looking figure. And that's one thing that I've kind of noticed with these newer figures. It's like you're holding little miniature works of art. I hate to be over dramatic about it, but just the level of sculpting detail and the paint work is just, it's insane. And there's nothing else out on market right now that matches up to it.
Yeah, I can't really say anything more about the figure. Not to sound like Chuck, because obviously I'm not basing whether my figure can, whether I'm going to buy a figure, whether it can hold its weapons or not. I do wish the handles for the pistols were a little bit thicker, but hey, other than that, that is total nitpick. This is an awesome figure. Everybody should definitely get this one.
For sure. Yep. And I think it helps that the vest is smaller. That allows him to hold things tighter, it seems like.
Yep.
When like low light, where his vest is bigger, it's harder for him to get his arms across to hold a rifle properly.
Right.
Not too bad on Duke. And it's really the paint that brings out how good the sculpt is on the head. Like the hair has
absolutely
like three different colors of yellow to kind of bring it out.
It's crazy. Yeah, and the vest too. The vest is like the tan base, and then there's a light, you know, a little bit darker wash over it, then an even darker wash. I mean, it's amazing the level of detail they can get just by layering the paint a little bit.
Yeah, very good. And then on to my favorite figure, which I love this Firefly. It is awesome. Something else I mentioned on Twitter today is I think out of all the characters I can think of, Firefly over the last couple of years has got the best figures consistently. Starting in, I hadn't even thought of it, but Chuck brought it up, that the comic pack version with Storm Shadow and then Resolute and then Pursuit of Cobra and now this one for Renegades. But every time it comes out, it's just a great figure. And this one's definitely no exception. And it's just some fantastic sculpting with the grenades on his forearm and the machete and the other grenades on the back. And the head sculpt is perfect. I have no complaints about Firefly.
Yeah, he's awesome. He has some of the similar problems as Cobra Commander does with his long jacket, kind of hindering his leg movement a little bit. But, you know, I almost don't care. I mean, the figure is just amazing. His vest is so much detail. He's got the most kick-ass, you know, kind of AK-47 commando assault rifle that comes with him. He's got his awesome grenade launcher that he used in the show. He is a great, great figure. I was really surprised when I took him out and kind of took his secondary off to kind of see what parts he was made from. A lot of them is just like the Resolute Firefly. He's got the Resolute Firefly, you know, Resolute Cobra Trooper torso and legs. He's got some different lower arms, which bring out a lot of nice articulation, and of course the different head and the different vest, and that just makes him a whole new different figure. He is really cool. I like this one a lot too.
Yeah, for a character that only appeared in
only one episode.
Yeah, one. Wow. I mean, they went all out for, I mean, they didn't go all out for necessarily for Snake Eyes, but then what can you do? Black Commando guy. They went all out for this guy, and I think a lot of that has to do with fan expectations of the character Firefly. So, way to keep expectations high and way to deliver.
You can almost tell which characters and which figures the designers kind of get into. You kind of wonder, you know, after you've done 55 different Snake Eyes, how excited you are about doing another Snake Eyes, and maybe, you know, it doesn't get so much attention, but then this cool Firefly with this interesting design comes through, and they think of some really cool
and we're
things.
Not saying that this Snake Eyes is the worst of the 55. I mean, I'd put it definitely in the, you know, the top 15 of all the Snake Eyes ever done, but yeah, you can kind of tell, how can you reinvent Snake Eyes? Well, it, you know, they did it pretty much the closest they got to reinventing Snake Eyes was, well, what would you say, probably the Resolute, the City Strike one.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, you know, after that, it was We Wait Till the POC one, and then you get the Renegades one. But can you reinvent Firefly? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Fran, do you? I know you don't have them in hand yet. Have you based any opinions off seeing them online? Anyone you're waiting for more than the others? Or
right now, no. I have no opinion so far. I have to wait to get these in hand.
Okay.
Chuck, what about you? I know you. Are you planning on getting them at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, you know, when Justin put up on Twitter today the fact that he said the plastic felt cheap, I got a little concerned. And, Greg, I wanted to ask you, did you as well feel the plastic felt a little cheaper than usual?
Not on all of them. Maybe just that Snake Eyes. Oh, it's just my two cents.
Oh, just the Snake Eyes when you felt was cheaper?
I did feel like Firefly's vest felt a little bit thin, you know, kind of when I was taking it off him, it made some like little kind of, it wasn't cracking, it wasn't breaking, it was just, it was making some different noises and just felt a little thinner than some I'd felt, you know, it might have just been my imagination, but it definitely felt a little bit different to me.
Okay.
They remind me of Clone Wars figures.
Well, yeah, what I wanted to ask
might be a good comparison.
Well, maybe Justin, do you have the comic series Battlefield Captain America figure? The
yes.
One who was like the World War. Did Snake Eyes feel to be of the same quality as that Battlefield Captain America?
No, I don't think so. He felt a little bit different than that. I mean, I didn't sit there with both of them in my hands, but I do think he felt better. And I don't want to dwell on it because I don't want people to feel like it's that shoddy workmanship. I don't think that the joints still feel nice and tight. Everything is moved. Nothing looks like it's separating. It's just the material itself just feels a little lighter, and I don't really know what else to.
It's just that I know from having a few of them, the Marvel Universe 3 3/4 inch figure tend to be made, like, tend to have that feeling where if you hold them in your hand, it doesn't feel to be the same type of plastic as a G.I. Joe. I mean, the joints are good, you know, everything poses. And I remember hearing once the rumor was that because of the fact that the Marvel license was so much more money, they couldn't, but they can't charge more for a 3 3/4 inch figure. They had it less than the quality. So I was a little concerned that maybe that's what Hasbro's doing now with G.I. Joe, but. You know, I'm looking forward to them. Firefly, I've always, really since the 25th anniversary, I've had a thing for Firefly. I've always enjoyed the figures that come along. My one thing is, do you think since we're getting a Renegade Snake Eyes, that means we're not going to see a 30th anniversary Snake Eyes? Because I think that I had a great idea that if they would have taken the base body for Wave 3 Pursuit of Cobra, done it in navy blue with the commando head and bare hands, we could have gotten a really...
I think we've seen everything there'd be seen for 30th anniversary.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, just saying getting a nice sun.
No,
it's too late for
that. What you've seen plus the 7-packs at New York is what we're seeing, and then after that's the movie line.
Well, you think, I mean, they keep on making reference to this mysterious assortment that Quinn is supposed to be in, but I think he's just going to be worked into an existing assortment, and I'm not reading too much into that. So I think Gary's probably right. Basically, what we've seen in the 7-packs is pretty much going to cover it for 30th anniversary. There's not enough time to release anything else, really.
That just bothers me that they're rushing like the 30th anniversary. I mean, such an important and historic line, and it's getting rushed, and it's 30th anniversary. I mean,
well,
how many boy lines?
I don't think
say
they're rushing. I think it was kind of understood that this is kind of a holder between Pursuit of Cobra and the movie. Yeah,
and the movie line. Yeah, no, I understand, but I mean, you know, it just bothers me that it's being treated as a holder line or a placeholder for.
Well, what do you want them to do? Re-release everything we've seen so far and forget about like sci-fi and all that stuff?
At this point, it's either this or nothing.
I think
they were just lucky they just didn't drop it from retail, you know, until the next movie's coming out. I don't really see them as shortchanging their 30th anniversary. I think they're giving us the 30th anniversary. It was, you know, it could have been nothing. So I think
the fact that
out there is a cool thing, and especially when this first two waves are kind of, you know, not the most exciting for a lot of people, but I think once we get to waves 3 and 4, people are going to go absolutely bananas. And yeah, I know there's going to be some complaints because, oh, well, now it's going to end for the movie stuff, but I think we've kind of got to look at it from the perspective of G.I. Joe isn't going gangbusters, and so they're not... They're not putting these out because, well, obviously they're putting them out because they want them to sell. They think they're going to sell. But I think the bigger reason is to kind of keep G.I. Joe with a retail presence between this year and the movie. And they're doing that by giving us some 30th anniversary inspirations, which isn't something they probably had to do.
And who's to say we're not going to see any other homage characters in the movie line that they might do like they did?
It would have to be later. I would say it'd have to be later because I think the first couple of waves are going to take care of your core movie characters, and then you would get your homages like we did later on in.
Well, I mean, if you remember with Rise of Cobra, you had like wave one movie characters, wave one non-movie characters, you know, that were being released at the same time.
Yeah, but they certainly, I wouldn't say Shipwreck was an homage. I mean, hey, it's Shipwreck, okay? It's
Torpedo.
Well,
we had the Walmart two-packs. It's Deep Six, sorry. Monkey Wrench and Night Force Shockwave and Night Force Tunnel Rat and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, but a lot of that, well, yes, but also a lot of that was like, Gung Ho was more compared to being a part of the Renegades universe, or excuse me, Resolute universe versus anything else.
True.
I think the quality of the plastic is better with these Renegades figures, especially the joints. The joints on the that's Captain America that you were talking about, Chuck, those are terrible. So, again, G.I. Joe, 100, everything else, way below that.
Okay. The other thing you guys got to remember with the 30th anniversary is the movie got actually pushed up.
Right.
So they kind of squashed their marketing plan. So it's not 100% necessarily Hasbro's fault.
True.
You know, Paramount came in and said, you know, we're going to move the movie up, and then that kind of screwed up their production plans for that line. So just throw that in there.
Very good point with that too, yeah.
All right, so that ends our Renegades talk. So first series, not too bad, but I think upcoming the other figures like Law & Order and Scarlet and Tunnel Rat, those will be a bunch of really good figures, hopefully.
Scarlet is going to be awesome. She just looks so cool.
Yes.
She looks awesome.
All right. we wanted to throw this in there because Gary requested it. There's a thread on his tank about requesting...
Fram, we're going to pimp your sight.
Sideshow Torpedo figure.
Yeah, there's a thread that poster's name's Dave Stroh. I don't know his reputation or anything, but over in the Sideshow Collectibles 12-inch toys subform at his tank, official Sideshow Navy SEAL Torpedo request thread. Well, this is one of those that I have certainly requested, and I think would make an awesome Sideshow figure with everything that you could possibly put on a Navy SEAL / scuba diver. I don't know if Sideshow reads these or not. I would like to think they probably do, considering how many people go to his tank on a daily basis. So if you agree with me and would like to see something like a hyper-articulated, detailed 12-inch torpedo versus, oh, I don't know, another Cobra Trooper in tan or a ninja that's in green, head on over here and make your opinion known. I would definitely be on board for a very nice-looking torpedo. Join me, folks. Join me.
Yeah, I'd be up for that. I don't buy everything Sideshow puts out, but I think they could do a badass Navy SEAL figure. Make them, you know, give them land equipment as well as some sea equipment and some water equipment. I think that'd be pretty awesome.
I'm kind of excited for the premium format figures that they're going to be presenting. You know, we've seen the Baroness and we got Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
But the stuff that's going to come in the future, I think, is going to make a lot of people happy. They have a lot of stuff planned, man. I cannot wait till they grow the line to even bigger than what it already is.
I'm sorry, Fran. Now go ahead.
I love Sideshow product. I think it's a great thing that they do for the 12-inch collectors, and to do it in the ARH style is great for everybody.
Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised that they've been able to take the Real American Hero license and really grow it like they have. I was kind of nervous knowing the typical spending habits of your G.I. Joe fan and how they don't always spring for a lot of that expensive stuff, but Sideshow has done it in such a way that they're appealing to a couple different markets there and really pushing G.I. Joe out there and putting out some great product, and that's appealing to multiple kind of sales groups and really kind of getting that brand out there and making some good stuff out of it, selling out on a regular basis, which is definitely a good thing.
Yeah, just because Gary wants a torpedo, I don't want to see torpedo. I think torpedo would be the worst idea. Sideshow, don't make torpedo. Ignore whatever what everybody else has said.
This is also the same guy that says driver. That the Roadblock or Rock and Roll was horrible and he wouldn't spend $20 for it.
No, so, I said Zartan.
You threw Rock and Roll under the bus there too, buddy.
Yeah, but
so,
not as bad as Zartan.
Doesn't matter.
Dude,
doesn't
don't
matter.
Even get started on Sideshow Zartan. I will rant.
Doesn't matter. I think the fandom is tuned out, Chuck, when it comes to Sideshow stuff. Oh, Chuck's talking about Sideshow stuff. Whoop, there it goes. Can't take it no more.
Sideshow. The fandom tunes me out in general.
I know I do.
We try.
Do you guys collect the environments? Does anybody own any of the environments?
No, that Pit Command Center environment looks absolutely awesome, but I haven't gotten any of it yet, no.
I would recommend the Cobra Throne over all the ones that I have. It's just an amazing centerpiece. It's just something that you could keep out anywhere, and it instantly causes conversation with whoever sees it.
Nice.
It's just a really great detailed piece. Throw your Cobra Commander on there, and it's a great product.
Yeah, I was very disappointed by the Cobra Throne. When I first saw the name Cobra Throne, I'm thinking to myself, wow, finally, a functioning piece of, like, military equipment for Cobra. I'm thinking, great. And then I see it's a chair and not a toilet. I mean, come on.
How long you been waiting to tell that one, Chuck?
It just came to me when Fran was talking.
Yeah, we can tell. Next, we have two little announcements that Gary hinted at on the Facebook page, but we have two contests going on. The first one has to do with our Facebook page, of course. Justin, do you want to talk about that one a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, I've been in touch with the folks who run a very cool website out there, HalloweenCostumes.com, and they have an assortment of they don't have a whole lot of G.I. Joe themed costumes. They have a few, but they've got a whole bunch of military themed stuff, and they want to have a contest for people in the spirit of Halloween to give away a $75 gift certificate to HalloweenCostumes.com.
Ooh, nice.
So you can get yourself all equipped. You know, you folks who like to do cosplay can pick up some gear for that. If you want to dress your kids in as Duke and Scarlet, you can pick up some military clothes from them. And it's going to be open to our people who are liking us on Facebook. So if you haven't liked us on Facebook yet, run over there and like us. Over the next week, we're going to be gathering the names of everybody who likes us on Facebook, and we will draw somebody randomly, and that person will win a $75 gift certificate to HalloweenCostumes.com. So go run and do that now if you haven't done so yet. And if you have done it already, great, you're automatically entered, and we will announce the winner on our next week's podcast.
Yep, facebook.com/whatsonjoemind.
Exactly.
Gary, did you want to talk about the other contest we're having?
Yes, we have a awesome contest for those living outside of North America. Gary Head, friend of the program, is giving out an international care package. And this care package will consist of Wave 1 and Wave 2. These are two complete cases, Wave 1 and Wave 2. You will be sent these directly to your door. But, again, you have to be outside of North America. So, sorry guys up in Canada, you're not eligible. Sorry guys in USA, you're not eligible. But everywhere else, you are eligible. So here's what you have to do. Like we've done before in the past, we have four questions, and these are things that we've talked about in past episodes. So you're going to have to go back and listen. We'll give you the questions, and then you email them back to whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. And those of you who all got correct answers will be put into a blind draw, and then we'll probably just have Greg's girlfriend pull a name like she did last time, right?
Greg's wife, you mean?
Greg's wife, that's correct.
That's not correct.
Don't scare the man.
He's living scared. What's he talking about?
Every day.
You never get tired of that joke, do you, Greg?
Oh, not at all. I have a tally mark next to the car. Track of them. I think we're up to about 20.
Yeah, between that and the softball jokes, you know, I mean, he's good.
So are we ready for the questions?
We are ready for the questions.
Okay.
Facebook as well.
That's right. Fictionally speaking, on Chuck's Facebook fan page, What the Chuck? Chuck is big in what country? Chuck is big in what country? That's quote unquote big.
I can't tell you how hard I'm muffling myself.
Question number two. This is a pretty easy one. Justin just reviewed the most recent convention set. The name of the set is Mission Blank. Yeah, that's a gimme, but
impossible.
There you go. You win, Justin. Too bad you live in North America.
Ah, damn it.
Okay, question three is a two-parter. Part one, what was the last international country that Greg visited and interned was imprisoned and later rescued by Chuck with his snake eye sword? Okay, so part one of that question is, what was the last international country that Greg visited and was in turn imprisoned and then later rescued by Chuck with a Snake Eyes sword.
We don't want to know what he ate while he was there, but
well, that's part two. Part two.
Oh, okay.
I
didn't blow that.
What was Greg eating and drinking when Chuck found him in jail? Okay.
Spelling counts.
And usage counts. that was a classic episode.
That was a classic.
I love that one. Oh, question four. Not nearly as funny or as interesting, but in what country was Gary in when he watched the 2011 Cricket World Cup? What country was Gary in when he watched the 2011 Cricket World Cup? So those are your four questions. We will put them in the show notes. We will put them on Facebook. And hopefully we'll have enough entries that we can do a drawing next week to send some lucky person outside of North America, not one, but two complete cases of Wave 1 and Wave 2.
Nice.
They're very cool. And thanks again to Gary Head for donating those. That was very nice of him.
He's the man.
And now a few words from our partner podcasts.
Soundwave, jam that transmission! Global frenzy, ravage rat bat, eject, operation interference.
No, there will be no operation interference. I am TFG1 Mike, and you should be listening to my very first podcast, the TFG1 Podcast. 24 episodes covering the entire U.S. run of the 1984 Transformers cartoon. I also have a few supplemental episodes and an interview with Stan Bush. I bring in guest hosts who will be full-time co-hosts in Steve Megatron and fan of the show, now co-host Pecan Court Michael. So check out the TFG1 Podcast. You can find it on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Transform and roll out.
Welcome to my throne room, fugitives. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TFG1 Mike, Pecan Court Michael, and the Cybertronian correspondent Optimus Solo move on to Transformers Animated with Transformation Animation Podcast. 20 episodes covering all three seasons of the cartoon, the books, and the awesome toy line. We will also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped with GCRN's next Transformers franchise podcast, Transformation Animation Podcast, available on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Get your tap on.
Decepticons, transform and rise up.
Hi there, this is Chris Vint, your host of the Master Universe Chronicles, which you can find exclusively on popculturenetwork.com. I do an episode every fortnight, and it's always released on a Sunday, so I have either an interview, a discussion, or an episode commentary with my good friend James Busserton's E-Talk. Some of the interviews I've done are the likes of Larry DiTillio, Dean Stephens, Scott, Toy Guru, and Nightlick, so why not head over to Pop Culture Network, click on the Master Universe Chronicles button, and then even go into the Pop Culture Network forums. There's a Master Universe Chronicles thread there. You can post in there what you would like to see on the show. You can even contribute. And until next time.
Chuck, you got a shout out this week.
Yes, I do. Want to give a big hi and thanks to the folks over at the Atomic Martians toy review, video review on YouTube. These guys did a special Cribs episode of their show, and they, at the end, it was their 1 year anniversary, they gave a shout out to me and the podcast. And I'm saying,
nice.
Thank you for a year of your videos. If you're not watching them, folks, these guys are funny. They cover the toys, but they do it in a humorous way. It's youtube.com/AtomicMartian. It's all one word. You gotta watch them. Subscribe to them. Really great guys. So thanks, and looking forward to what you have for us in the future.
Cool. Yeah, sounds good. Even though you mentioned Chuck and not me, I'll let it slide.
Yeah, it said at the end, Chuck and the guys from What's On Joe Mind. So Chuck, Chuck gets top billing finally.
And the first time I've been on top. Hoi!
Hey.
Or, wait a minute. Has I played the groan at all this particular episode?
It's not an episode unless you play the groan at least once.
No.
You can edit it from the show, but it can never be edited from your mind.
Nice.
Boring.
Okay, anyways, I do want to give a couple shout-outs real quick. I want to thank Dave Tree and with all the cool stuff, his store in the UK. Thanks for the support. John at Joe Armory for continued support and running our link on his front page. Slayer, Jared, and the guys at Project ARHH for their continued support. And the guys at Serpentor's Lair for starting to mirror all of our episodes of the show. So thanks a lot. Those are my shout-outs. Anybody have anything else?
Well, I was going to shout out Airtight on histank.com, but I already did that a little bit earlier. But I will shout it out again because I'm sitting here playing with my 30th anniversary vamp that I got at Walmart in Massachusetts because he directed me to the right store to go, and that was very cool of him. He was even looking for some extra vamps himself and still told me where to go find one before he could get his hands on it. So that was very cool of him, and I really appreciated the assistance, and it was a very nice cap to my week of Cisco training.
I'm needing some good networking help at work. Would you mind coming helping me out?
$75 an hour. You play plane fare and hotel.
We'll pay. It's nothing like our networking guys deciding on IP telephony upgrade day to go ahead and change the IP address of the entire voice VLAN.
That's nice.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That's something you want
to
do.
Yeah, and then I tell them it probably wasn't a good day to do that, and they get upset at me. Yeah.
Did they stop speaking English for some reason?
Phones no worky.
Do you understand that, Chuck?
Yeah, it's a little bit better.
That is all.
All right. Well, talk to us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. Call or text us at 262-515-9656. You can read about us at Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Important for the contest, so make sure you visit. On Facebook, you'll find a link to our Podbean site where you can find all the links to our social networking profiles and active forum threads for such forums as Joe Declassified, His Tank, Joe Battlelines, and the G.I. Joe Collectors Club, if you can find it.
That's a low blow, Gary.
Download our shows at iTunes, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it for free in your app store at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio and What's On Joe Mind, where the smarter way to listen to radio. Check us out at GeekCastRadio.com for other great flagship podcasts such as Telecast, Movie Week in Review, Tooncast Beyond, and GeekCast Radio. Find them all at GeekCastRadio.com and unleash the geek in you today. Once again, I'd like to thank our very special guest for hanging out with us, Fran from the New Jersey Collectors Club, and His Tank for joining us. Thanks, Fran.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Fran. It's good talking to you.
Thanks for coming on.
Now, as you know, one of Fran's friends is Kevin, so next week we'll be joined by the infamous Joe Collector, historian, customizer, and feature JoeCon speaker. He probably doesn't want that to be announced, but he is. Kevin Watts.
He'll be Joe Star.
Rock. He is one of the original Joe Rockstars right there. He'll talk to us about his custom His Tank for the New Jersey Collectors Convention, and he'll just generally hang out and probably bother Chuck from some time and keep my finger close to the sensor button. So it should be an interesting episode next week. Don't miss it.
I smell train wreck.
Definitely. So, for our guest Fran, our showrunner Greg, co-host Justin and Chuck, I'm Gary, saying to all of our men and women serving, God bless, Godspeed, and come home safe. Good night, folks. We'll see you next time for another episode of What's On Joe Mind.
See ya.
Good night. No, that's real smooth.